With me here, we have got apologies. The first one is the one that I've just indicated for the chair that will be joining us quickly. The second one is the deputy minister, who is attending a war room in Rustenburg, where a president will be doing the oversight. We have got another apology which is coming from Inkosi Qedekulu, who is committed to other meetings. This one is we've got another apology from Mr. Leon Person, who is attending to other matters which are personal and very, very detrimental. So he has to attend to those things so that, yeah. We have an apology from Mama Kaola, who is also attending another meeting. And we have an apology for Mr. Kabine, Honorable Kabina, and Honorable Mahawane, who are also attending other meetings. Tuesdays, we have got a lot of members that are attending meetings. You will know that this day we requested it because we had a lot of entities that had to come to us. But normally we meet on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So, I will repeat this, Minister, that, when we joined this Parliament, 2014, the fifth Parliament, we realized that all the entities, more especially the water boards, were represented by the department. And we took a drastic step to say no, because they are in existence, let them come with their board, the CEO and the board, to come and present for themselves so that we can ask direct questions and they give us direct answers when we are doing our oversight. Secondly, it was an issue of, when we recommend anything to a person directly, studies have revealed that those people who have been speaking to them directly, they are able to remember. That is why when with a teacher in the classroom, it would have been possible just to put a television there, let us learn for yourselves, or give a textbook, go and learn for yourself. So sometimes something that you read, it has to be emphasized by a body, a warm body, before a person. Hence we were teachers, lecturers, and so forth. Now, when there are committee members before you, speaking, recommending, today we've got two entities that are going to present to us. We will start with Lipele Northern Water Board to present its 2017-2018 report, followed by the overbearing water board, which will do the same. I still believe that the two water boards have got their boards with them. Yes, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure in terms of, do we have a quorum to proceed in terms of the meeting? Can I just have clarity around it?
Thank you very much. According to the prescripts of Parliament, for a committee to proceed, you need to have four members. Here we are four. If you can look at the back there, we have a member representing the ANC that is here. And the fifth one has just jumped in. We are five now. So I want to say that we are 100% on the right direction. We can proceed to have. We've been four and five now. Thank you for giving that direction. At the present moment, we'll then ask the minister to take over from now. Minister, welcome. Thank you very much that you are always with us to tell us directly what is happening with your entities. That is what we call accountability, a political head accounting to other political, you see, that's the way it should be. You know, I'm always thrilled, Minister, that you give yourself time to ensure that this portfolio committee is taken seriously, which is a theme that is like by, you know, we are from, we cannot run away. We are from the ruling party. It is the organization that cares. So you are also from the ruling party. So you say to the people of South Africa, I really care. I want them to know exactly what is happening to me. Thank you very much. You can take it from there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members.
Morning, Minister.
Honorable Chair, we would like to introduce to the committee the Acting Chairperson of the BME, Advocate Matsipe. He's sitting down there next to the, close to the team. Yes. The chairperson of the board, Nkosi Shibatse, he is at the moment he is still on the technical suspension, if I may put it that way, because the board had requested that he desists from participating in the affairs of the board. Because there were serious allegations that were published in the, I think it's the Soweto, and the board requested that he be given time off and not participate, both as a chairperson and a member of the board. For information of the committee, I might just add that I agreed, I supported accepted and supported the representation by the board. So the matter went to court, and the position of the members of the board, led by Advocate Matsipe, prevailed, and therefore Nkosi Shibatse lost that case in court, and therefore we have the acting chairperson over there. Secondly, we are happy to present even before the meeting, that the CEO presents the report to present the fact that we have really made a lot of ground, covered a lot of ground with regards to the Guyana project, because that's really one project that has been in the news in South Africa. Honourable Chair will agree with me that it's no longer, you know, in the news as it used to be before, because we then gave a directive to the board that independent audit should be the implementing agent, and that the department's consortium unit would be the contract, that would be the lead contract on the project. Because the board correctly, on the 17th of January, if I remember well, the board took a resolution to to terminate the relationship, the contractual relationship with LTE. And for reasons that the chairperson and the CEO would be better placed to explain that, very clear reasons based on facts on the ground. Lastly, Chair, we are doing a lot of work in that area, Kiani. The construction unit, Northern Construction North, which is what it is termed in terms of the, you know, the references to this, the various units of the department, has filled in all the trenches which were left open by the company that was responsible for the project. And now the construction north is working, is focusing on trying to get water as quickly as possible to the communities, including, you know, the boreholes which have been drilled, but water has not been accessed and then distributed to people. But that's really the pressure point right now. But the board is doing its best, and I'm satisfied with the way in which it works. I've been there myself a couple of times, and I should have been there today as well, to because I was invited by the community through the district mayor to launch a community project oversight committee, because we have established that, establishing that those committees around the country and projects where we are involved. Before I'm asked, Chair, Birmingham is supposed to have its own, and when I visited there over a week ago, I found that both the ANC and the DA have not submitted the names, and of course we still want us to get the six aside. We agreed at that meeting. I'm just saying this so that, you know, when I'm saying we're establishing these committees where we have this construction unit, so that I preempt any question about that, because that's good news. So we're making progress, Chair. The detail of the report in terms of management of assets, of management of, you know, the administration issues, etc., those, I leave that to the board through the acting chairperson and the CEO. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Then I will hand over to Perle. You will be given 20 minutes to finish everything. Thank you very
much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the Committee, Honorable Members, the Honorable Minister, the Chair of the Board, DG, and colleagues. I will try to observe the instruction to spend no more than 20 minutes. The report we are going to present, Chair, is dissected into two portions, which is the overview of the financial performance.
I will request the Chair to start first, then we will
you're getting.
Chair, thank you very much for the directive. Members of the committee, the Honourable Minister, and all the guests invited, we are happy to be here today to come and present our financials. I'm the acting chairperson of the board. On my right is our CFO, and the CEO is the one who was speaking just now. Chair, I may just add on what was said by the Minister before I hand over to the CEO to go through the financials. That indeed we had problems in the Guyana, which we are now on track. We are now sailing smoothly. There are no more dangers. All the holes have been filled. And our target date is that by September 2019, water must be flowing to all the communities involved in that area. I may just also add that on Friday, this past Friday, I had a meeting with the Premier where I committed that the Bende will ensure that all the areas of the focus, whether big or small, must have water as long as the respective players can come on board. And that is our commitment, and that is what we are going to do. Because we had some strikes in our area where car roads would be banned, roads would be blocked, simply because people want water, while we are the bulk water supply. That can't make sense. So we are available. Our mayors will have to come on board. We will assist them. They can do their articulations, but we will ensure that every part of our province has water. And that is the commitment I made to the Premier. And I also briefed the Honourable Minister. I will now hand over to the CEO to go through the financials with your permission. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. The report I'm going to present, which is the annual report 2017-2018, is dissected into two portions. One is the overview of the financial performance of the organization, and the second part is the non-financial performance. On the financial performance shared at the 31st June 2018, we are contrasting the two financial years 2016-17 and 17-18 so that members can appreciate either the progress or the decline we are making. On the revenues from exchange transactions in 2016-17, or let me rather say we moved from 548 in 2016-17 to 626 million. The cost of sales, we unfortunately regressed. We moved from 265 to 325 million. Gross profit share, there is a 6% variance. We moved from 283 million to 301. The other income, which is the main talk to the amount of money we make when we implement projects on behalf of the department and the municipalities, we moved from 106 million to 66 million. This is due to the fact that the number of projects that we are implementing in the area, particularly Guyana, are at an advanced stage of completion. So the deadline is talking to the progress made so far. Our operating expenses, there's a 4% variance. We regressed from 415 to 398. This in the main share was caused by the electricity charges that we are incurring 24/7 when we are operating our plants. I think I'm going to proceed to the statement of financial position of the organization. The current assets share in 2017 were sitting at 1 billion and in 2018 we are sitting at 936 million. This is as a result of the unbundling process of our infrastructure assets, which has brought credibility and certainty to the amount of the capital assets we have and their values. On inventories, we moved from, there's a 46% variance from 6 million to 8. Receivables again from exchange transactions. In the main share, this is the amount of money we are owed, which is in the region of 1 billion. By the number of municipalities in the services footprint of the area, as well as the department for the project that we are implementing. I must upfront indicate the measures we are taking to redress the situation. We are in constant discussion with the department. The last meeting we are going to have is on Thursday to try and solve the amount of money that they owe us. And secondly, we are engaging the municipalities that are owing us on a constant basis so that they pay. The issue we are experiencing in the municipalities is that most of them are poor. They haven't got a sustainable revenue base. So that has got a rippling effect because they cannot collect from the community, and as a result, they are not in a better financial position to service their debt. But what we have done is the board, we have entered into debt repayment agreement with these municipalities, and we have converted them into court order. We also have engaged the National Treasury to make sure that time and again they sensitize us when they will be making transfers for equitable share to municipalities so that we get paid as and when the money gets into the account before it could be committed for other things. We are hoping, Chair, that when we come back, present to this committee the report for this current financial year, the situation would have drastically improved. As we are speaking currently, there are some rents and cents trickling in from this number of municipalities. Although not enough, but the situation is not as bad as it was in the year in question, which is 2018. On page 6 or slide 6, Chair, there I'm presenting the financial ratios for the organization. The gross profit margin in 2017 were sitting at 52% and we moved down to 48%. The current ratio from 1.5 to 1.7, the asset turnover from 15% in 2017 to 18%. Our average water tariff for all the plants that we are operating on an average basis, we moved from 5.52 rands per kiloliter to 6.06 per kiloliter. So our water tariff has always been low given the economic demographics of the population we are serving, Chair. This is always the primary consideration that we are making, over and above the fact that it always has to be reflective of the cost we are incurring in pumping the water. I must also indicate that in our interaction with the municipality, there is none that has raised any sharp objection to our tariff determination when we interact with them. On the cash ratio, Chair, again, the impact of a strained liquidity status is affecting us so badly. Last year in 2017, we were sitting at 0.2, which is 20% for any person that we are owing, and now it's 10% or 10 cents. The next slide on page 7, the expenditure outcome. We have had a variance of 2% on the amount of money we have budgeted, which is 695 million. This 2% is due to the increase in the cost of sales, which is mainly attributed to the electricity cost. The compensation for the employees were within the norm of 35%, and the goods and services is 65%. On irregular and unauthorized expenditure in 2016, 17, 18, we have never had any unauthorized expenditure. And during the years in question, we have had irregular expenditure ranging from 21 million in 16-17, 17-18, it went up to 31 million. The cause for this irregular expenditure was in the main the extension of the expired contract, non-compliance with the panel selection criteria, deviation with the treasury set is not in line with their guidelines, and what we did check is that we implemented consequence management against officials who made this to happen. There are two senior officials in the finance department which are currently on suspension as part of the consequence management. But over and above that, we have requested treasury to workshop and train all our supply chain management officials, including the management that is making up all the supply chain committees, your bid evaluation committee, bid specification committee, and bid adjudication committee. On fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we are sitting at 2.4 million share in 17-18. This in the main is due to late payments to suppliers, which is SARS. We have incurred interest and penalties because we couldn't be able to pay on time as a result of our constrained cash flow. On the next slide, we are indicating the infrastructure commitment. In 2017, we had committed 122 million, and cumulatively it grew up to 151 million in 2018. On the accrual share for goods and services, during the year in question, we were sitting at 445,000, and for capital assets, it was 121 million. We have got a set of contingent liabilities and assets. On the liabilities, there is a claim of 500,000, which we have received for the damages that the claimant alleged we have caused to his house, which was flooded by our underground pipe in Danin. We are currently entertaining this through our legal processes. And then in relation to the contingent assets, we have had a loss of assets in one of our schemes, which we had quantified coming to the tune of 100,000, and we have successfully recovered that from the service provider. There is a court order now from the security company that is appointed to guard our assets. There is also a claim of 2.5 million from a land claims commissioner, which the case is still ongoing, and the same is the case in relation to the 2.8 million from the service provider who couldn't meet his contractual obligations. On the analysis of the AG opinion, in 2013, 14, 14, 15, and 15, 16, we had received unqualified audit opinions. 16 and 17, 17, 18, we regressed to qualified. This in the main is due to the unbundling of our infrastructure assets. The issue here would be, what then are we doing? We have appointed the service provider. The exercise has been lengthy, tedious, and rigorous. We couldn't manage to finish it in a year. Currently, we are at an advanced stage of completing it, and to be exact, check, they are helping us to come up with a credible asset register which would meet the AG's requirements when they come back this time around. On the next slide, we are indicating the trend analysis in relation to the number of AG files. We have had a jump in 2016-17, and in 17-18 we went down to 51. And we are further indicating a breakdown in terms of the findings per component. the following components being financial, accounting, supply chain management process, HR, governance, and IT. All these components, Chair, they've got their own findings which the AG has been raising over the years, and we are attending to them. We have given a high-level summary of the action plan we are implementing, Chair, to respond to the AG's findings, the major ones which have cost us a qualified audit opinion. The first one is the asset register was not unbundled as per the standards. I indicated already that there is a service provider to help us with the process. And the performance information didn't meet the SMART criteria for certain objectives. We didn't have a guiding tool that clearly defined objectives and measurements. Currently, of course, the guiding tool in place. The poor payment history of the debtors, which is the under collection of the money. We are continuously engaging with the municipalities and the department to make sure that we are paid what is due to us. And I've already indicated that continuous engagement has resulted in us developing debt repayment agreements which we have converted into court orders. Over and above engagement with municipalities, Chair, we are also raising the matter, as the Chair has indicated, with the Office of the Premier and SALGA as well as COPTA. Our overall performance in 2016-17 was 55%. In 17-18, it increased to 61%. What follows the overall performance slide on page 20, Chair, is the explanatory notes in relation to the milestones that were not achieved and the comments on the deviations. We also have got a number of internal projects that we're implementing as the Lebelle. The number one is the upgrade of Lake Bushelo water scheme. Once it is completed, we will realize improved bulk water supply to Mavru Hall and Provostan areas as well as the adjacent villages. We are also upgrading the old fund sport and Ebenezer schemes. These are the two schemes that are supplying for local municipality in the main chain. Currently, there is a serious water crisis in the area due to the dilapidated infrastructure on our bank system. When we pump water, water can't reach the end because it's being spilled all over due to the nature and the size of the infrastructure. We have completed a 3-kilometer pipeline replacement. Currently, we are going to phase two, which is the 4-kilometer pipeline. But in the bigger scheme of things, on this project in relation to Bolobani, Bolobani needs no less than 3 billion to have additional 40 megaliters of water so that we unlock its economic development, which currently has been arrested. We do not have this money, the fiscal doesn't have this money. We are in constant discussion with the National Treasury and DBSA so that we can obtain a loan and implement this project. So far, DBSA has got an appetite because they've made their determination and they realize that it is bankable. There's also police water scheme upgrade, which we have appointed a service provider to implement. The challenge is in relation to the license dispute, and we are in constant discussion with the department to unlock the dispute. The project that we are implementing on behalf of the department is the Nandoni Sami pipeline, which is meant to augment water supply from Nandoni to Giani, and also the Giani intervention, which the Honorable Minister has already touched on, as well as the Chair of the Board. The status on the 8 pipelines that we are presenting on is as at June 2018. Currently of the 8 pipeline, 3 are already connected. We are doing the quality testing to see if there are the leaks. We got a request here that members would have to be taken through our water tariff determination for 2019-2020. And we are indicating there that our tariff has always been cost reflective, taking into account the increase in the raw water costs by the department, which is 14.4%, increase in the purification cost, 5.3%, the electricity costs, which are a problem, soaring at 15%. The fixed costs anticipated to increase by 5.6%. And over and above this, Chair, we always put a serious consideration on the affordability and ability of the consumers, which is our municipalities, to pay. We do not want to overburden them because they will fail to meet their obligations, and as a result, we won't be able to run a sustainable business. I've already indicated that we have had engagements on our tariff with SALGA, National Treasury, and all the municipalities that we are saving. None has raised an objection that we could not resolve. On the next slide is the breakdown of the tariff per the scheme that we are operating. We are also spreading this across the 5-year projection. And from now until 2022, our tariff will remain 8.5%. And that will be the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Chair, with your permission, I may just add something. On the issue of allegations of or anything to do with corruption, we as the board, in order to start correct, we have taken a decision to appoint forensic investigators to investigate the entire board and the entire executive, and to leave no stone unturned. We also have a process of tip-off anonymous run by Deloitte, which will then also from time to time assist us. That is what I can add to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, here's the presentation. Before I can give you the opportunity, the chair is here now. He may come and take his position. You know, I can't be pointing at the chair. The chair speak now in his own committee. Chair, you're welcome.
Once again, members, Mr. Department, and entities of the department. You know, I was just getting ready to enjoy having to be allowed to engage. My apologies once again. Out of PE, there's only one flight in the morning, as I couldn't come through yesterday, last night, held up in the constituency, the work. And the last flight yesterday is at 5, out of PE to Cape Town, so I was literally stuck in Hangi. And today the first flight is at 10 to 9 only. So that would have been the logistical arrangements that one has to confront with. Members, that is a report. I listened to it from start to the end. Minister, you did also make a few remarks. I thought to also say something about the SIU investigation, which you omitted as you spoke about forensic investigations that you are starting. I also thought you'd say something about maintenance of your assets and also replacement of some of your aged infrastructure that you are currently running. I thought you'd say some of those. Now, I also thought, Minister, you would appraise this committee of parliament about a discussion. Your officials would be quite knowledgeable about it. We started a process where the department was meant to have been engaging with SAGA, which we started the committee 2017 December, remember, actually November, wherein we invited National Treasury Department, SAGA, COCTA, wherein we were expecting to get a plan in dealing with these debts, outstanding debts by municipalities. Owing both to water boards being owed by municipalities and also by other departments, and then of course the ripple effect being that of the municipalities being owed itself by other departments as well. I had thought you would mention something along those lines. I repeat, Rand Water Board started a process out of an experience. I listened to Lippel also lecturing on the same issues that Rand Water was dealing with. Upon Rand Water's experience out of 2015 February, where there was a theft of a cable, what became clear on a substation of Eskom, affecting the entire distribution because it uses no energy for pumping. It was happening. This happened at Palmit substation, or at the pumping station. Rand Water started a process as a result of that experience of drawing or pulling together ideas and proposals on energy mix, if you like. The net effect of that exercise, if it was to have happened, if it was to have gotten through, would have been the price factor to the ultimate beneficiary, that is now the person who receives this at home. And now, when you reduce such cost of what you pay Eskom or what you pay municipality, it has that net effect at the end that works positively. It can only be that case for me, but it did not happen. I don't know why. I'm reminded by that when I listen to Lipella talking about the cost of electricity in running your pumping stations. Whether or not you do not have to go through this energy mix, if you like, that is renewable. For me, it makes sense, economically or otherwise. Okay, members, those are the few questions, or rather, few remarks that have been made by both the Minister, Chair of the Board, and also the CE. And then I just thought, let me just remind myself and also throw those as part of issues I would imagine that would have been raised by the Bella Water. Are there any questions, comments? Mr. Khair, I know your hand. Mr. Hugo, Mr. Ngun.
Thank you, Chair. On the second page, the financial performance, the CE ran through the top columns and he stopped short of fair value adjustment, which is shows a 935% variance. I would just like a bit more. Is that a pro or a detriment in fair value adjustments? That is an exceptionally high rise, and be positive. Just enlighten us about that. And then on the following one, the statement of financial position. I just want to ensure that I heard correctly the cash and cash equivalents, which is down 76%. What are they doing about this? Did I hear correctly that they are going to utilize the equitable share that is allocated to the specific municipality in that area? And then the last question I have is, despite all this, there is a responsibility on the Department of Water and Sanitation also to ensure that things run smoothly, and all the challenges we're having in late finalization, what is the plan of the department to rectify that over and above the Pele Water Board? Thank you.
Mr. Hume? Thank you, Chairperson. It seems that the Pele Water Board has got financially not viable, as the deficit keep on growing each year. It seems because of they've got a poor debt collection in their system, and what are they going to do, what is their plans to address their poor debt collection. And another issue is, it seems that some of their executive members have paid themselves some performance-based bonuses against not having receiving a qualified audit opinion from the AG, which they shared amongst themselves. And this practice is not sustainable. Did they maybe discuss with the board in terms of, or the minister in terms of revising their salaries and so forth? And another final question, the chairperson made mention of forensic investigations that is underway. Can you maybe elaborate in terms of which, and give us some details in terms of which investigations are underway, these forensic investigations? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There's on the audit report, I think they've indicated the date, I think it was page 15. It was starting from 2013, 2014 until to date. It looks like a going concern. On the first three blocks, 2013, 2014 until 2015, 2016. You have been getting unqualified. If you check the reason for unqualified, for the unqualification, it's the same. It's the same. Now, 2016, 2017, 2018, you look at the reasons of the qualifying. Now, I think the AG has downgraded you. According to him, it's based on there was no improvement, hence the downgrading, crowd downgrading to qualify. Which if you look at the logic, you analyze the logic, now you become logical. It can be on 2018, 2019, maybe you may be given a qualify. Let us assume. Then 2019, 2020, then you will go to a disclaim downwards until the last concept they use in the issue. How What plans do you have to ensure that when an AG has given you a report, you follow it to the latter? Do you have any concrete plan, or what difference, or how will you do it differently to ensure that whatever AG's report is given to you is dealt with? Because to me, I don't think you are doing fairly well. We are regressing every year. We are regressing. I don't know what page is it here. Where you say action plans? It's page 19. You have what major findings, and you have what the root cause. Why this thing is happening, and you have what an action. How effective is this action? How effective is this action? Because it looks like there's nothing that indicates seriousness on the job on your job. Let me make one example. The last one: no processes to avoid or detect irregular, wasteful, or fruitless expenditure. The root cause: lack of understanding on the supply chain management processes. You say actually the board is improving on the SCM processes and has conducted the SME training to national traders. How effective is that? What's the plan? You see? Once we have done this, the order board is not even, I don't know how the importance of the board getting into supply chain. Yes, they must know how the supply chain processes are going. What about the staff? Those who are exactly dealing with those things. One, if you look at your financials, you will see that the AG is indicating that there is inappropriation of record keeping. You cannot keep records. When they need this, they're not there, or they're inappropriate. Supply chain, it has to do with those things. What plan do you have to avoid these problems? Do you have any internal audit system which is looking at your issues on monthly, weekly, whatever, to control this financial? Do you have it in your? And the last question is, electricity is the major cost. One of the major costs of you having to pay a lot of money to ESCOM. What new technologies do you come up with to ensure that no, you cut electricity? I think even the water research commission did indicate some of the things that I think they had a lot of researches which can assist you to deal with. Are you looking at those to ensure that you? I'm happy with your tariffs. They are low, but they can even be lower if you can venture in those technologies. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Okay, sorry, those are a few questions. I was just keen trying to follow up, asking Madia about the PMFA sections that deal with any regular expenditure, especially given the fact that in writing here, I'm reading extending an expired contract. I am reading here something that says there's a conscious decision by whoever who knows willingly that this contract has expired, but it has to be extended. Effectively saying and telling anyone that I am now doing an illegal thing. That's how it comes to me. That's how I read it. And then obviously by law, there is a consequence to that. Somebody has to be penalized who knowingly does something illegal. That would be the first one. The second one talks to the issue I was raising earlier on, Minister, about the discussion we had with Minister Nomvula and her team in relation to debt collection. If I am not mistaken, by now you should be talking of no less than 12 billion rand, and it's not improving. That talks to your water boards combined. At what point are we to say it is now improving? There are signs in terms of rents and cents that tell us that there is a drop in terms of that figure. If we can be clarified on that in the context of what we are getting from Lebelle Water, I'm quite conscious of the fact that this covers every other debt that the department and the water boards are confronted with. Those are the few that I would imagine other members are dealing with.
Chancellor, can I add one? I forgot one.
Yeah.
On the issue of the creditor payment. When you look at the panel, it takes them 273 days to pay their creditors. Are there any plans to know why this thing is too much? Based on the economics and the economy, mostly we are doing business with the people, the business partners there, who are maybe the majority, might be within the black skin card. And they don't have means. And all of these creditors have what people are working under. How do you ensure that they don't even go bankrupt? They don't go bankrupt because, or they don't even contribute to the economy of that particular area in South Africa in general. By ensuring that you are, how would you do that? Thank you very much.
Okay, Minister, and your team.
Chair, I request that you allow the board to respond to the questions that relate to the subject matter. I will try to respond to the issues which you raised, which were never part of the agenda that was set to us. Thank you.
Chair, of the question.
Thank you very much. I'll respond to some of the issues raised, and the CE and the CFO will then be able to deal more specifically with issues that pertain to management. Let me just, as a breaking point, state for the record that we as the board do not condone any form of misconduct by our officials. We have made it very clear that whoever is involved in some illegality, action must be taken. And we expect that from management from time to time to ensure compliance. We have policies in place, perfect policies. It is now for the executive to ensure that there is compliance. And whenever there is no compliance, we expect action to be taken. Chair, I agree with you. You can't have an official extending an otherwise expired contract. It just can't happen. But it has happened in this system. And we as a board, we are expecting to see action being taken against those who would then be because it can't be. Because it will then keep on being done, until we are at the level of where we can't be called a functioning board. We will be something else. Let me also comment on this one of the payment. the CEO will then take it further. I really agree that if a person does a service to you, the least, if you are unable to pay on time, at least, if not 30 days, at least 60 days. But to take almost a year is just unfortunate. And this is some of the things that we are now faced with because of the cash issue problems. We receive 5 million there, 10 million there, and so on. While we are carrying out the project on behalf of the department. The department made a promise to us. I'm happy the Honorable Minister is here. We will see some light at the end of the tunnel. If we can achieve something, it will help us to push most of this debt out so that we are also healthy in the job creation. Because as the Honorable Member said correctly, we can't set our companies to a failure by the non-payment after they have indeed performed. There was also a question on forensic investigation. Honorable Member, the reason why we went for the forensic investigation is as follows. When there were allegations in the Swahili newspaper, they mentioned things about our chair at the time that were so disturbing. I'm not going to again repeat those details here. I can only say that they were really serious issues raised about it. And we felt, how do we really now, we are a board of 9 members. Maybe I'm also bad, maybe he's also bad, maybe the other one is also bad. Let us do something that we can be able to again regain the confidence of our setting up. And we then said, let us have a forensic investigating team in place that will look at the whole board, all of us, and goes up to the executive to see, are we really clean, so that there must be no stone left unturned. And we said to the forensic investigator, we expect the first or the temporary report by end of March 2019, so that we can have something to work on. It will be an ongoing thing. It will also go to the tenders to see that things are done according to book. Self-cleaning. We don't have to be given a court order to do self-cleaning. We felt, let us do self-cleaning for the sake of ourselves as a boss and the communities that we are serving. We are expecting the initial report by end of March 2019. And then we will then, of course, be able to go and have other reports as we go along. Let me stop here and shift to the CEO to take us through with all the details. I thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honorable Members, once again. The question raised by Chair in relation to how are we maintaining our assets. I must indicate this sad situation, Chair, that is obtaining in our province, and I don't think it is peculiar to us. I'm quite sure that most of the water boats that are serving the rural population should be going through the same. We have got the assets in our space which were installed way back, most of them for the smaller population back then. Now with urbanization and rapid population growth, those assets were not properly maintained or enlarged to be at par with the size and the nature of the population demographics of the areas we are saving. So as a result, you'd have these assets not being able to supply the amount of water or to meet the demand in relation to the amount of water. When they do, they are so old that time and again they will burst when we pump enough water or as we try to pump and convey enough water to the communities. The example in this case is Polokwane Chairperson. Infrastructure there was laid down in 1974. Polokwane's population has exponentially grown up. In fact, it has tripled. But we've been battling to put up with the infrastructure that keep up with the population growth. And besides battling just to keep up with the infrastructure, we couldn't enlarge it to make sure that the size of the population as it grows is also served. So what we are doing at the port currently, we have appointed a service provider to help us with the conditional assessment of our infrastructure. The process is at an advanced stage. We are going to finally have an access maintenance plan which indicates the age of the infrastructure and the timelines in terms of which we have to make the maintenance and repairs, and the timelines in respect of which we have to replace, because every infrastructure asset has got its own lifespan. That is where we are. On the energy mix, which we can consider in order to cap excessive electricity costs, we are in the discussion with the Water Research Commission. They are currently helping us to survey all our plans to check which of the options in relation to the energy mix would be suitable for our plans. There is a question raised by the Honourable Member in relation to the debt collection in our organization. This is quite a thorny issue, Chair. I must admit we are in dire straits as a result of this situation. We are owed no less than 1 billion as the water board, both by the municipalities and the department combined. I must reiterate, Chair, the approach we are taking to debt collection is as follows. We are in constant engagement with the owing municipalities, using all the government sectors and units that can help us to get this money. In the main is the office of the Premier in the province, SALGA, which is the controlling or the supporting body on behalf of the municipalities. But over and above this, we have our own debt collection strategy, which categorizes the set of actions we have to take against any entity or department that is owing us. At the final stage of those actions would be the switching off of the taps, meaning we are no longer supplying the water in terms of Section 4 of the Water Services Act. This we had to do at some point in the past, but it couldn't be sustainable, in the main because of the fact that it just couldn't make sense, and we took cue from members of parliament that when two entities of government are having a dispute, it's the community down there that must suffer the consequences. So the strategy we have embarked upon is to force the municipalities to come around the table and sign a debt repayment agreement, request the National Treasury to help us monitor it. The question that came in relation to this debt recovery in relation to equitable share, that's where National Treasury came in, one of the members. Every time there will be equitable shares to the municipalities, we get an indication 2 days or 1 day before from National Treasury. So they will be paying Mobani on this date, then we start to engage Mobani to say pay, because we know you have received the money, or the money is on its way into your account. And this is documented in terms of the debt repayment agreement that we have concluded with them. But here's the catch. These municipalities are owing us so much that they are unable to pay historical debt and also service the account as we go, the current account. So if they service the old debt, the current piles up, and later it will now become the old debt, then we are in a merry-go-round type of a situation where the debt will forever be piling. So I agree with the Chair that there has to be a decisive engagement with all the sector departments and units that are involved, because we also appreciate that our municipalities are saving the indigent population. Some of them, like Mobani, 62% of the population in the area is indigent. On the question of the bonuses paid, we have got the human resource policy that guides how bonuses should be paid. It is not correct that the executive just said and decided to pay out the bonuses. Taking a cue from the board policy, we generated a submission having considered the number of factors in that policy, brought it to the attention of the board, and the board had approved, looking strictly into the financial position of the organization and its sustainability. We haven't made any submission, Chair, for the annual increase of the salary of the chief executive to the minister specifically, because there was that determination made by the former minister that certain chief executives, including the CEO of Lupel, shouldn't get an annual increase.
How do you know that you haven't made such a presentation for the CEO, being the CEO yourself? Okay, we can go.
Okay, Chair.
In other words, are you the one who's submitting?
It is the board that is submitting, Chair. And I know very well there is a communication that the board had received from the minister to that effect, indicating the number of water boards whose CEs would not receive an annual increase, as well as the percentage increase of the stipend for the water board. So that's how I became aware. And thanks a lot. So on the question of the assets unbundling, this has been the cause as indicated in our report, Chair. The main cause why we obtained a qualified audit opinion. In the past three financial years, as raised by Honorable Member Mguni, we have been getting unqualified audit opinion. The main finding was in relation to the debt. But in the last two financial years, it was the debt together with the asset unbundling. The process of unbundling our assets is quite tedious, as I've already indicated. During the financial year in question, we couldn't start and finish it, and currently we are at the tail end where we are developing a credible infrastructure asset register which would meet the AG's demands and requirements. We are very confident that when AG comes back, we'll be out of this situation where our assets are not properly unbundled as a result of the affecting our financial statement. On what are we doing, the action we are taking to deal with the irregularities in relation to our finances? I've indicated, Chair, that we have got two senior officials in finance who have caused this, including the extension of the expired contract. We have put them on suspension. But over and above that, we have engaged Treasury to take through all our supply chain management, staff, finance, and all managers and supervisors who are playing a role in the supply value chain through a training starting from PFMA requirements, all the national Treasury guidelines and instructions, as well as NOS. Each and every time there are changes from national Treasury, we have got an officer dedicated to keep track of those and share with the staff. But over and above that, Chair, where we have established there has been gross negligence and intention, we have subjected people to a disciplinary process. We also have augmented our internal audit staff by appointing additional three officials to help us with regular audits on our financial and entire assurance of our systems within the institution, and we on a regular basis report those to audit and risk committee so that we can keep track of our AG finding action plan so that nothing gets lost or slips through the fingers. I think the other question, if there's any that I may not have covered, shall we give it to the CFO?
May I continue, Chair? Thank you very much, and good morning to all.
Morning.
Okay, I will talk to the first question that was raised by the member with respect to the fair value adjustment as to what has happened there. What happened there was that there are some monies that we've put aside for our post-retirement benefit. So what the adjustment predicts is that there was a positive move between what we had in the previous financial year to what we reported in the 2017-18 financial year. So that will mean that our investment has performed very well. With respect to the deficit that we are reporting or we have been reporting since the 2016-17 and the 2017 financial year, I need to indicate first that the unbundling of the asset register has really had a huge impact on our financial performance, in that we had to carry a huge amount of depreciation cost, which we never expected. However, due to the fact that most of the assets that we had in the organization were not accounted for correctly in the previous financial year, we had then to unbundle and carry such a huge expense. However, with that said, Chairperson, it's also necessary to indicate that for us to improve our financial performance, we will have to increase our production. But currently, for all the projects that we had to implement to improve our production, we have to put them on hold due to our cash flow constraints. So it is very difficult for us to implement those projects that will increase our production within the current cash flow situation. As a water board, what we then decided what was practically possible to implement right away is to implement the cost containment measures. So what we have done, we have outlined all the issues that we are saying as a water board we can exist without, and those that are critical for our operation. So currently, all the procurement that we do, we only do for critical aspects of our operation, or that will make sure that the board continues to operate going forward. I will also touch on the issues relating to the creditors' payment. It is true, Chairperson, that even when we are not paying our creditors in time, the effect to them is very huge, and we have obviously had a lot of complaints from our creditors with the fact that we are not paying them on time. They are losing business because of those reasons. However, what we have done currently is to make what we call our cash flow projection, within which we make sure that whoever we are owing at a current moment, we are reducing our creditors' payment period from what we had in the previous financial year, and currently we are sitting between 31 to 60 days, which is really a huge improvement looking at where we're coming from in the 2017-18 financial year. Chairperson, I will also touch on the guideline by National Treasury with respect to irregular expenditure, which the CEO has already touched on, to indicate that obviously as a water board, when we have incurred irregular expenditures, there are processes that we need to follow in ensuring that such irregular expenditure gets to be condoned, which obviously include investigation and coming up with a report as to what has caused such irregular expenditure, which that we have done, and we are in a process of submitting to National Treasury to get all our irregular expenditure that were incurred to be condoned by National Treasury. Finally, Chair, I will touch on the concern by the member with respect to our audit report as to how are we going to improve the performance in terms of the audit report that will be issued from the current financial year going forward. And I know that the CEO has already touched on, but what we have done, we have come up with an action plan which we are monitoring on a monthly basis to ensure that everything that we said should be implemented at a time within which we have given ourselves, to ensure that by the time AG comes to audit our 2018-19 financial statement, we should be able to provide whatever necessary documentation to ensure the smooth running of the audit and also to improve our audit performance. Chairperson, I hope I have covered all the questions that were not covered by my seniors, and I will leave it there.
Okay, members, so that is those are the responses that we get from the department and the water board concerned regarding their annual report. Any further questions? One last round. We're done. Mr. Hugo, you've been the only one.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think I'll take a last bite. Can you provide us with the reasons why Lepele Water Board is awarding tenders without following competitive bidding process, even though there is enough time to conduct a competitive bidding process? I think you, Chair, will stop there for now.
On the same issue you are raising, CFO, about the net effect of some of these small, medium-sized black enterprises not being paid on time. How many of those in this year under review have since shut down because of that act? Failure by yourselves to pay them on time.
Chair, thank you. Let me just give an overview, and I will again shift to the CE and the CFO. The first question, which I will deal with, the one of why we always involved in some sort of tender irregularities, if I understand you well. Yeah, Chair, it's not really a factual statement. We are not really involved in that. It will be how the affected person sees it, but it is not really a factual statement. And where there is some sort of evidence, we as the board, we are willing to see that coming forward. From where we stand, our supply chain is doing things according to the book. So it is not a factual statement to say, like we say, if the fire can burn you here, it can also burn you in Europe. It is not something that is so factual that we can say it is now conclusive or mandatory. It is only those allegations made by people wherever they are to say, I have lost this tender, I believe they are doing things underground. But it is not really like that. And I am putting it on behalf of the board that we don't condone any irregularities in the awarding of the tender. So the answer is no, we don't do anything underhand. But of course, there will be those who are dissatisfied. Then
maybe let us allow Mr. Hugo to direct that question properly, so that we don't find ourselves having to respond in a manner that shall provoke further questions. Let's allow him just to give one full account of the question.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. There is been stated in terms of their irregular expenditure, in terms of the details, there were some deviations from competitive bidding in terms of there was no proper tender processes that was followed in terms of your, if you go and check in your irregular expenditure for more details regarding that issue. It's not about something that someone spoke of and so that meetings sexual. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I said
that clarifies it better.
Yeah, no, now it's fine. I'll then give it to the CE and the CFO. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. We have already indicated that the reasons that accounts for these irregularities could not be something that the board could condone in terms of our supply chain management policies, and as a result, we've put people through a DC process. So it is not like this occurrence is something that is universally applicable or taking place within the organization. It's just a few isolated instances which the board could pick up, and we are dealing with them decisively. But over and above this, Chair, we volunteer to give the members a list of the projects we have run, just so that they can appreciate the extent to which we have complied during the financial year in question with our supply chain management policies. And there will still be these ones that we single out showing that there has been non-compliance which we couldn't hide from anyone, including honorable members, and the steps we are taking to correct them. Thank you.
I will talk to the suppliers who went out of business because the Libele couldn't manage to pay them. I would say that we don't really have an official indication of how many of those suppliers went out of business because the Libele failed to pay them. And if ever Libele was the main factor that has led to them going out of business. However, we have instances where suppliers, when they come to complain about the non-payment, they will cite such as an example that we might go out of business because of your failure to service the account in time.
Would you give us that in writing? Having gone back to your systems.
Yes, Chair.
When next week?
Can we try and provide it by next week, Friday, Chair?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Thank you. Members, in the absence of any further questions or comments, want to give over to the Minister to wrap up, and then we pass over to Overbeck.
Thank you, Chair. I just was conferring with the team, acting DG, to give reasons why they have not been paid. I think she has got some answer to that question. If I deal with the agenda of points which you raised.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and colleagues. On the issue of non-payment by the department to Libele, the invoices are to be certified as correct from the region to the department, to the National Office for Payment. Now, there seems to be disputes on some of the invoices. So what I can say is that immediately after this meeting, I will then check with the colleagues as to by when those disputes will be clarified for us to be able to pay, and also to confirm the amounts of those invoices that are in dispute, and those that do not have disputes, so that we process that speedily. Thank you, Chair.
What finally happened to CAR 2 or LTE claiming to be owed by the department? Understandably so that you have a contract with LTE. It was in the newspapers all the time. Did you finally settle on that? I'm aware as well that you've since terminated the contract with LTE. You did report on that.
Thanks a lot, Chair. Yes, we have terminated the contract, and there hasn't been any objection or dispute raised by LTE. on the amount of money that they claim we owe them, they couldn't establish the basis. My apologies, sir. They couldn't establish a legal substantive base why we should pay that money, and as a result, we could not pay it through. Because for every invoice that they bring, we go check on site whether the work is satisfactorily done before we can pay. So with the work that they did, which was not to the level of our satisfaction, which certainly has been the underlying cause for the recent death of a kid roofer in one of the open trenches, we just came to a conclusion that this payment can never be due to the service providers. But over and above this chair, the very basis why we couldn't go ahead with our contractual arrangement with them is that they were demanding additional 600 million over and above the scope in terms of cost of the signed contract. And in terms of the treasury regulation, if there to be any variance that can occur in terms of any contract on a project, the furthest you can go is 20%. And additional 600 million would put us way above the threshold that's approved by National Treasury.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Minister, are you covered?
Yes, Chair, I'm covered, except to say that with regards to debt collection from municipalities, which is really a very big challenge. The majority of municipalities, as you know, are rural. It's very, very difficult for them to pay. I'm not justifying that, I'm just stating the facts. If you take Amatola Water in Eastern Cape, Amatola Water, because Amatola this municipality is technically bankrupt, you can't pay for Amatola. And Amatola Water, as a result, it is struggling to provide necessary services to its clients in the province. So this is similar to what we just heard from the family. Zimbabwe is just as rural. So I think the point I'm making is that we have to really find a very creative way of helping municipalities. And that is why I've made a recommendation in government that we look at the model of delivery of food so that we can for example, you know, if you expand the definition of bulk to include the bulk pipeline, the water reservoirs and wastewater treatment works, perhaps that's an element of reticulation and then distribution pipes. Maybe the municipalities can deal with that. But also it's important for us to reach to that, to as far as that in providing the main infrastructure or bulk infrastructure, so that we're also able to provide different sanitation the facilities. Otherwise, without that, it's not going to happen for a long time to come. So it's for me, it's a model issue. It's a delivery model issue. I've made a proposal to that effect, and that is what we're actually doing. We're implementing that proposed model in Guyana. Last one is you were asking about investigations. Is SIU investigations? Those investigations, some of the preliminary reports have been sent already to the president. So we're waiting for the outcomes of what happens then after that. Some of them include officials in our department. This one official that you know that there was a recommendation for us to act and to suspend, and which we have done. It involves particularly this area of work in Guyana. So the rest, in other words, the investigations continue, and we are awaiting the outcomes of such investigations in totality. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that appraisal. Members, that takes us to next submission
which talks to Ogobek. Thanks for your submission, Lebelle. It's up to you to remain and listen to those that listened to you, so that they also have a fair share of being listened to as they were listening. Thanks for that. Overbeck.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm here.
He's now going to submit. As they always is the case, are expected to submit. The executive authority being around takes the first tune, and followed by the chair of the water board concerned, and the chair of the water board concerned then decides as to who then submits. That's what happens. You know, all these CEOs, they want to rush first, thinking that they are in charge. Minister, over there. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, well, unfortunately, from the perspective you started, the CEO doubles up as also the executive authority. So he will do two things in that context. Chair, the good thing about just that point is that tomorrow I'm submitting the proposed list to Cabinet just for getting concurrence for Cabinet. Otherwise, the work has been done now by the panel and they've submitted the list to me. I hope that by the end of this month there will be a vote for Overbeck. I think, Chair, that given what has been going on there in the board, I think it's always difficult to deal with matters in the manner that we have been experiencing in Overbeck. However, if you really remember the way things happened, the turnaround that was fast with regards to Mchatuzo, was exactly in a similar situation. But once you had a board that is committed, I hope that this is what I'm going to drive with this board as well, so that we can have a board that can take over and run with it immediately and deal with some of the challenges that we have identified in this report and which the CEO is going to present. There are areas which are commendable, but there are clearly areas of deterioration in terms of the audit outcome. So we'll hear what the CE will say. CE executive will say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honourable Minister, Committee Members, Acting DG, and colleagues at large. We are presenting here on behalf of the water. I am here with my team, the CE, the CFO, and the COO. We are presenting this annual report for 2015-16 for obvious reasons that we were running behind, but we are no longer behind. Our presentation is largely divided into three parts. It's largely the challenges that we have, the financial information as well as payment information, which includes the action plan. And this action plan emanates from the findings by the Auditor General of the year 2015-16.
Mr. Khair, what the Minister was explaining that in this water board, there is no board. So the executive as chief executive officer, assumed the role of being the executive authority and also being the accounting officer. So that's the background to what is going on within that. And what the minister was explaining is that only tomorrow that he's submitting a list of the board members that has been nominated to the cabinet.
Thank you for that, Chair, because that was going to be my first question. How can the board operate if they haven't got a board that you've explained to me? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me firstly say we currently operate in one of the water management areas in the Western Cape, which is the Breda Forest Catchment Management Area. Our intention is to go beyond, but that's not the purpose of discussion. The purpose of the discussion today is to present the annual report 2015-16. If you look at the population size in our area, you could easily say that there is so much underutilization of the over the water board, which has the capacity to continue providing good quality water, not only for the Overberg region, but perhaps for the entire province. That's our ambition. But there is a set of challenges. First challenge is the board of at Overberg was terminated on 21st June 2017. The second challenge is you had an instability at executive level, where the CEO of BGCMA had to be the CEO of Overberg at the same time. And that was discontinued in September to provide more stability in the institution. The other challenge is there's a lack of resident company secretariat function, which makes it impossible really to follow on the board resolutions because there are records are non-existent. You can't find them. That's also another issue that led to this disclaimer that you received. The other challenge is there was a non-submission of annual reports on time for 2015-16 and 2016-17. However, so much has been done to deal with history and to deal with the backlog. Hence, we managed to submit 2017-18 on time in conjunction with 2016-17. Hence, the Auditor General elected to start first with the 2016-17 before moving to 2017-18. I think the outcomes are already out. From disclaimer, we moved into a qualification. Of course, we were disappointed. We thought we can do miracles. We can just jump from a disclaimer to an unqualified political opinion. The wishes are not the same all the time. The other challenge we had was accounting records were not properly maintained. Hence, there's a disclaimer. More importantly, critical positions were vacant. There was no permanent CEO, there was no supply chain manager at the time, there was no financial manager, and the CFO, our CFO was on suspension. We had to stabilize all of this, but we managed to produce the 2015-16 annual report, though it was late. I think it was produced around November. The other challenge is that there's no internal audit in place to strengthen the internal controls within the organization, something that we have improved on. We even engaged the National Treasurer to provide training on SCM and any other relevant treasury instructions so as to improve our records. The supply chain mainly. Finally, there was no increase for 2016 financial year because of the challenges that we had. Hence, if you look at our financial position, we have been at a better position today if there was an increase 2015-16. Even when we went on to introduce for 16-17, we could not double up because that would be unlawful to do so, but also that would be unfair to our customers. Now, if you look at our performance information, I may not go through all of it. If you look at our performance information, you quickly realize that even though there were challenges at over the water, but those challenges never affected the quality of water that we produce or that we do it on behalf of our customers. We continued to comply with all the required standards, at times even beyond. Especially if you look at number two on the slide, the non-revenue water, the target there was 8.75, but our actual target confirmed by the auditors of 6.4%. So it shows that the issue was not about the mandate of the organization. The issue was somewhere else, hence what we're now addressing, including the reliability supply. There wasn't a situation where there was no provision of water at all. The rest goes on and on. Now, when you look at our performance, financial performance, the financial reporting, we aim to produce an unqualified audit report. The actual results of our reports was disclaimed, primarily because the information was not there, and at times we could not establish what was happening. If you look at our current ratio, it's sitting at 163%, which makes us to be financially healthy, even though there are challenges within the institution. And then on item 7, number 7, on BEE, our target was 50%. However, due to the challenges at the time, we were unable to do so, and also that the records were not available. The other, okay, the slide number? Slide number 5. 12, sorry, 12. Good, you are here. Slide number 12. And then now I'm moving to the next slide, which is customer stakeholder interaction, which, number 11. We say the performance objectives, there was bulk supply agreements concluded with municipalities. In other words, in addition,
take it, when making reference to slide numbers, you are going to indicate that a slide with the heading, because it does not have pages.
Okay. Thank you. I'm on this one, which slide say, the topic is, the heading is customer / stakeholder interaction. If you look at that one, we wanted to have new agreements, but we couldn't because of the situation at the time. But we believe that that's history. We're moving on. We want to position Overberg as one of the most performing water entity in the country. Then when we come to, on the same slide, when we come to number 14, we say we want to achieve statutory reporting compliance 100%. We were unable. We reached only 75%. And then I think our commitment is to be 100%, 100% compliant with all the statutory requirements. Hence, we engaged the offices of the National Treasurer insofar as supply chain is concerned, as well as getting guidance from various established water bonds. The next slide, heading, organizational capacity, staff turnover. Our project was 10%, and then the actual target was 10%. On training and skills development, our target there was 3%. We could not achieve it due to organizational challenges at the time. We also offered bursaries to our employees to finish matric. The target was 2%. I think the results were quite good because we had 16 people participating in those energy programs. On jobs creation, the target was 25, but we only produced 10. Same as temporary job opportunities. The target was 27, we achieved 61. Now, the next one on general performance on governance. The board effectiveness. This figure could be more, but based on the records that are available, it shows that the actual target was 67%, not 95%. On resolution of the board, the target was that the board would make resolutions 95%, but according to the actual results, that cannot be established. It could be that they were 95%, but the records were not supporting that. Then the next one is effective controls and risk management. We didn't want to have any audit repeats. However, we could not find the actual achievement there because records were not there. The challenge is that most of the people who were there were new, and those who were there before were not directly involved with this exercise. So it was quite a challenge here to work on. Same applies to good governance. on corporate social responsibility, we meet the target, then moving from this to go straight to our audit outcome. And heading that says audit opinion for 2015, started property, plant and equipment, the same story that Lipel is facing of the assets, it also applies to us. Then we sat down and say, how can we best approach this? We then appoint an expert. We said we are going to appoint an expert who will assist to ensure that our components, our assets, are in line with the accounting standards and are also responding to what the AG wants. And of course, in the following year, we appointed a service provider to separate and unbundle our assets. And on top of that, we also implemented a management system so that we fully understand the nature and the presentation of our assets. The other responsibility that was given to our asset expert was to review all the assets to check if the impairment indicators exist, and that was done in 2017-18. Unfortunately, we couldn't do in that particular year because we only became aware of it afterwards. We also asked the expert to review the usefulness of these assets, and that was done in 2017-18. And then we also asked the expert to ensure that all our assets are unbundled for the 2017-2018 financial year. The next slide on inventory. The findings there was inability to calculate the measurement of the cost of maintenance and imaging space based on the weighted average cost. We think the root causes there were mainly poor record keeping and no documentation in place. Well, and then the action plan was to ensure that there are sound accounting records in place, and hence now our documentation is well stored. And then in relation to the management system, we are currently developing a tender so that this is properly addressed once and for all. We also have a policy which was updated 2017-18 in relation to the accounting policy, which was not there before, and the action there was to update accounting policy to allow for the use of current replacement cost as a mechanism of cost attachment and the use of FIFO method going forward. So these are the things that we came up with in order to ensure that all of the water doesn't go backwards but go forward and remain strong water bodies in the province and also in the country. Now, looking at audit opinion, there was a finding that the auditors could not provide this some of the information due to poor record keeping. And in our approach to address the situation, we have to ensure that accounting records are stored in a safe place, as I said before, and everything now is in place. Coming to the revenue, critical posts were not filled. Vacancies were supposed to be filled, and most of those vacancies are now filled. We now put a CFO in place, a supply chain manager in place, a management accountant in place, and also we are also filling both vacancies in our operations division, which is the key to our mandate. The other challenges on the cost of potable water, we could not find any documentation. This means our CFO at the time was a suspension, the former CEO rather. However, even though we tried our best to trace some of the documentation, we were unable to. And this case was going on for quite some time, and then we managed to settle once and for all at the CCMA in 2018. And now, as a way of addressing the poor record keeping, all our invoices are captured on a daily basis, unlike in the past. Now, the annual financial statement, as you could see, revenue-wise, the organization is quite strong, but we could do better if we can increase our footprint in support of our growth path strategy. We have been engaging the department insofar as taking over some of the infrastructure projects that are in the hands of the irrigation boards, we think Overberg Water is the right entity to deal with them. And if that happens, the financial statement is by far better than what you are seeing here. What is important, though, is we, due to drought and also due to that we could not obtain more clients, our revenue dropped by 1%, which also affected our gross income. I think, in a nutshell, now on this one, because comment on financial statement, our gross profit decreased by 6% as a result of less volume of water sold and no adjustment of tariffs in 2015-16 financial year. So that has a huge impact in the way we should have. Then on the statement of financial position, I think it's very clear in the end, we ended with 102 from 93, which was a 10% adjustment due to that there wasn't much activity that was taking place at that time. And then our non-current assets increased by 6% due to additional assets acquired and interest earned on investment that was capitalized during the financial year. I've mentioned earlier on that we are financially strong, but record-wise we are challenged, but I think the situation has improved now. And then the same applies to the statement of cash flows. The same. Now, on the comments of statement of cash flows, the operating activities increased by 36% due to the following: improvement in cash collection by 5% due to efforts being made to collect debt, increase in net interest income by 18% due to cash available on the bank account. There was a decrease of 1% on cash paid to suppliers due to the capital project cost, which were not paid. And then in conclusion, I think so much has been done. And we also think from now onwards, we would not be submitting our annual report late because so much has been done. We have worked, and we normally say we've managed to break both the midnight and midday oil to take Overberg Water to where it was. And I think the only thing now that has happened is for this organization to grow bigger. It's therefore recommended that the PC note our Overberg Water report, annual report 2015-16, and that efforts are being made to ensure all our annual reports are standing as submitted timeously. That would mean 2016-17. We are currently printing 2016-17. It should be ready soon. And then 2017-18, once the AG has completed its audit, I think should also be ready. It must also be noted that even though our 2017-18 financial statement, our annual report is not ready, 2017-18 submission was done on time. It's just that the AG requested an extension so that they do almost 100% audit. In other words, there was no 5% sample. They just decided that we are going to do a comprehensive exercise in this institution to satisfy ourselves. I think they had to at that time. We've also made a commitment to ensure that the 2018-19 financial statements are prepared and submitted on time, as I said before. And then the process of appointing expert as the minister stated, the process of appointing the board is at the final stages. And we think once there's a proper governance structure in place, things will go well, and we think we'll be able to focus on our core mandate and comply with all the requirements that are supposed to be there. It's also important that we also have an established internal audit in place, something that was not there before, and which is also important to note that the irregular expenditure is being investigated so that consequences where it is due can be applied. And more importantly, in order for us to stay focused, we have developed what we call the growth path strategy that gives us the opportunity to explore various opportunities of growth so that Overberg Water becomes one of the important water boards in the region. We also prepared the other one for the tariffs. We showed the tariff, I think it's on page. I'm not going to go through all of it, I'll only go to page 5, I think. If you look there, we have got a proposal that tariff a customer. Then for 2017-18, we've got HESECWA, TWK, Vatasclub Municipality, and industrial customers. The tariff for 2017-18 was 6.68, for 18-19 is 17.34. The adjustment is 8.4%, so that we don't overburden our local municipalities. We understand that in our interpretation, we operate in a rural setting, so where there are serious challenges. So the same applies to TWK, and then the only increase, which is above 10%, is only for industrial and agricultural ones, where the adjustment varies from 10 to 12%. Then that concludes our presentation. And then I was also asked to say something about litigation. Our litigation is mainly on labor costs, I mean on labor cases that we concluded with those who took over the water either to the CCB or any other platform. Those are the only ones in that particular year in there.
Thanks for that. To the point, you want to do any round up there, Minister? You saw it?
No, no, thank you.
Okay, members, those are the submissions from Water Board, over the Water Board, sorry. Any questions, comments? It's one of those small water boards, but very ambitious. It's going to be the best water board ever in the country. The water board being put in place, governance issues being sorted out. What the CE is saying is that watch the space. Any questions? Sorry, Mr. Khair? Mr. Ngunnoka?
Thank you, Chair. Now, that is so. One must be positive. If you're not positive, you've lost half of the race. So that's fine. We have now discussed the 2015-2016 financial report, but my question is that on a year-to-year outcome, the audit findings show that Overberg Water is doing particularly poorly. For 2016-2017 financial year, the board was qualified on inventories, property, plant and equipment, intangible assets and irregular expenditure. Now, in the light of this analysis, is it viable for the board to be operating, or will it be financially unsustainable in the future? Thank you.
Mr. Mbun.
My understanding of the overhead, there's no problem. Is it correct, Mr. Chair?
That's correct, sir.
No board.
Did you have the authority?
Yeah, we have been the referee and the player and also the supporter and the fan at the same time. Which is indicative that, you needed governance. You needed governance to assist you. But from what, we have been, Chair, we have been calling that the overhead gives us the report. There was no report. Now that I think we have been acting for so long, and you came in here, and we not so long, we requested that maybe permanent we push the minister, then minister, then it must be terminated, because I think you went for interviews, and there were those challenges that were there. Then you, I think eventually that happened. Here the report comes. It comes positive. It's positive. I think the 2015-26 is the indication of the positives, that you are going somewhere. I so wish that I can see the 17 and 18. That's what you understand. We must appreciate when things are, you understand. Hence, I think the report itself says, I mean, when I got there, I did not find records. So what else would you need? What else would you need? There are no records, and I was not there. You see, there are no records here. So that means leadership, whether it was very poor, there was nothing. Mine is to say, I know. For now, for 2015-16, job well done. To be qualified, it's a job well done. I so wish, so small, and as the chair said, ambitious. You know, I like things that are very small. You know, dynamite comes in small packages. They can blow the whole of this precinct, parliament. Being small, you can take cue from you. All the other boards can come to take cue from you if you become powerful next time. I hope, I still believe maybe the board, when it comes, will assist in pushing the, to making you progressive. It's just that I wanted to ask, you know, next time you want, please, members that are there, assist if they have forgotten to put numbers on the pages. It's very difficult to name the page. Say, there was this page which is organizational capacity. There's that organizational capacity. I just wanted just a clarity on those things. You say there were bazaars. I think it's for employees, if you know them. The projected was 2, but then it ended up that the actual target became 16, which is might have a financial impact. They indeed have a financial impact. I know a bazaar is very expensive. Which takes me to another one on the temporary or indirect. I don't know what is the direct, but jobs. The numbers were 27, and then the projected, and then you ended up having 61. I think I wanted just to find out from those things. Then the other page down there, general performance and governance. You say board effectiveness. You mean the previous board, or you mean you yourself being everything, 4-in-1, fan, supporter, player, and the ref. Who are saying the projected guy, or maybe you're just saying it to the previous one. But in a nutshell, I'm very much impressed by this development. You know, this is the point that we said, no, how do they work if we did not approve their anointing? Thank you very much. And I'm also saying on the debt, you know, I like this debtor, this creditors. I must be honest. Being in in deep trouble waters, you are able to swim out of those stormy weather to pay your creditors in time. You know, 40 days, at least, 40 days is almost a month and a half. A month and a half, or a month or less than a half, to pay these people. You know why we minister, will keep on emphasizing those things? We will say businesses are dying in South Africa. That's what we're saying. TNA people are not supposed to pay those business people. We say, hey, businesses are South Africa. There are people, South Africans cannot control themselves. And we don't look beyond what are the reasons behind. And one of them is that the services have been provided. They have borrowed money from somewhere, from relatives, from the banks. Now they have to pay them with people in there that they have to pay. Now they have to get money from you. Nobody is giving them. You understand? And you know, when you pay them, you will pay them the actual money that they have invoiced you. You forget many things. They still had to have transport to come to you. They had been using gadgets, communicating with you. Maybe they went to the extent of coming to sleep over. Maybe the board member or the CFO or whatever, the CE was not there to sign. They had to sleep over, sleeping at your doorsteps. You understand? In the morning they come to you, they are renting or they are accommodated somewhere. And they have to eat, these people. So you don't know the challenge this comes after them. And you if they can ask for that money, it's a problem. It's a problem. Maybe it's time now they will to say, if you have not been paying in time and you this person came to you, you must put the bills for all the other challenges that the person... Because there are many things that are involved. You know, I have been with the other people who have, in my constituents, who told me that, no, it's not only the invoice that these people must be paying. I'm also suffering. 120 counties, these people, to say, and at home where I have left, there are other engagements that I have to do, and I lose money in the process. But you look in the broader picture, you will see that I'm unsebabulala la man. But I want you to appreciate, you know, at least the 40 day, I think one the chairperson of the PLA did say that must reduce at least to 60. At least you see, you can see that people want to move forward. With you, you are not dead on the date, but you are next to there. You understand? Do you see the there is still there? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Just one question. What is the plans of the board maybe to increase their footprint in the province, since when I look, they're only in operation in an area that is very much small. You've got only four municipalities. You hear about the Kloof, Cape Agulhas, and Swellendam, Hesekwa area. Now, if you look at places like in the Karoo, where we experienced the worst drought in I don't know how many years in terms of growing their footprint in the province for future developments in building, in supplying bulk infrastructure in some of the areas. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll end there.
Chairperson, and only two I left. One is on the issue of the problems that you have in Solendam. There are challenges. Like if you can explain to us and how do you deal with them. And there's another one, I think that there's a community called Maibuye. Maibuye, I don't know whether you are aware of that community, so that I have forgotten to open it up so that I can tell you which are those towns. That community has got a problem with the issue of the billing system. Are you aware, because when I analyze this thing, I can see that this is not an issue of the water board, it's an issue of the municipality. But if maybe it came to you, you might have had a way of dealing with it. Because you will find that one house owes 1 million rent for water. I don't know whether that's for the community, Chair. I don't know whether to, because they indicate, I found it through the vibes, that no, there are these challenges that are in. And how can we help? If you know about those things, maybe if you don't know, then we are at liberty not to answer. Thank you.
The only one a comment I would make, it may not necessarily be relevant to this discussion for now, but for future, with an amendment that has since been signed off of your Public Audit Act. As I said, it may not necessarily be relevant to you for now, but for future. And also not only confined to yourselves, but also affecting other water boards, and of course the department itself as well, and then of course other departments. I would have loved just one comment from the AG's office here to talk about just that one part. We shall have heard your irregular expenditures, your fruitless and wasteful expenditures. We have been getting away
with murder. We have been getting away with murder as the water boards. Now, with that amendment, there is definitely going to be a change. The Office of the Auditor General shall have teeth to bite on those wrong to us. Maybe let's give them just that one opportunity just to comment on this amendment that has since been signed off into law. I would imagine the regulations that must still follow. Any of you from the AG's office?
Thank you, Chairperson, and greeting to the House of Light. Well, basically the amendment of PAEA, as the Chairperson has summarized it, is that, for example, in the previous week, we were only limited to reporting, and then after reporting, there was no action that AG could take for the issues that have been noted. But the amendment now gives the AG the platform to say then they can further refer the matters, depending on the assessment, like to other authorities, which can be in the law enforcement or, authorities, and can also able to say attach the person, like the person who is involved in the transaction, then they can specify, say, okay, this is a person that need to, if they need to pay, then we do a better assessment than them. But there is a process now to even able to recover if question has been of any misstatement.
You want to add, ma'am?
Yes, also want to add that the AG is planning a rollout process where all our stakeholders will be given a very detailed breakdown of how we are going to undertake this process. So the committees, parliamentarian committees, all our auditees, and any other stakeholder will definitely have a dedicated session where we will detail the exact process that will be undertaken. And I understand that it will happen before this year is over. So you must watch this space. It's going to happen and we're going to be very upfront with the process.
Okay, thanks for that. I thought let's give them a few minutes just to clarify that part. It's a very important part, especially as we have been going through these processes that relate to either your annual report and also your budget. As I said, it is not going to be as business as usual. So we better do things differently this time and improve for the better. Minister and your team, if you want to respond to any of your questions raised by the members.
Thank you, Chair. Not that I have noted, but I think they've been responded to. Thank you, Chair.
Are we fine with the rest of the other questions? TG, Chair, CE, CFO? Sorry, I'm still looking at yourself. Sorry about that. Induna?
Thank you, Chair. I think there was a question from the Honourable Member to say, is it viable for the overbirth water to be operating? I think that question is triggered by what you read from our audit opinion as prepared by, as drafted by the AG's office. I think if that's the sole reason, I think the issue has changed drastically. We've improved a lot in relation to those findings. 2016-17 years financially will show, and 2017-18 will show that based on the action plan we developed, we tried our best to respond to those issues, and the situation has drastically changed. Even the asset management portfolio is completely different than what it was during that year. The second element to that question is, the way I read it is, you are a small board, how best can you grow and be viable in the future? The answer to that question is, we've already embarked on a program which led us to come up with what we call a growth path strategy that identifies various areas of growth, growth in terms of geographical expansion and also in terms of our region. How are we going to do it? The first part is we want to explore more on secondary activities, such as taking over from other departments, be it correctional services, in order to deal, to mend their wastewater treatment works that we can do. And secondly, we have been engaging with the infrastructure branch of the department to take over the responsibility of that infrastructure and to hand it over to the irrigation boards. But more importantly, we want to increase our customer base. In other words, to get more work from our municipalities. And we're aware that we cannot achieve on our own. Hence, we believe in partnership. And that partnership requires an active involvement of the department in fast-tracking the handing over of those infrastructure assets to us to manage. Secondly, it also requires us working with SALCA to build a good rapport with the municipalities so they can believe in our capabilities. I think all of the board is really capable. Even the quality of water results that they've shown, it shows that the mandate has never been compromised. So if we can address those things, I think we can achieve more. But importantly, the recent drought has shown us that in the Western Cape, you do need a strong water board that will assist you in increasing your water storages. And if we do not capitalize in what we have and try to create something new, I think we'll be shooting ourselves in the foot. Let's rather build over the water and respond to those challenges that are faced by the province. I think the other one was, the question was, what is the plan to increase our footprint? The plan is the same as I've detailed. We came up with the growth path strategy that identifies a number of areas, municipalities, and certain projects that we can do on behalf of the department, which is a common practice really, because Umgeni is doing the same, and other boards are doing the same. They've got specific projects that are handling on behalf of the department. Especially for me, what is important, we need to increase our water storage here in the Western Cape, so that we do not have the same problem. And that can only be done, not called anywhere, but I think over the world to be positioned as such. There was also another question on the Solid America and the Maibuwe. I'll deal with them at once. The Solid America is a different case. It does not involve us directly. There is an intermediary body which was created way, I think, I can't remember which year, to manage the supply of water to a particular point that over the water provides. And then from that point, it gets distributed. And it's no longer the responsibility of government. It's the responsibility of that intermediary. There is kind of, I don't want to call it infighting within the community, within the structure, but there seems to be some misunderstanding, like taking each other to court. That's got nothing to do with us. What does that to do with us is to continuously provide water, and also where we can assist, we can assist. We even engaged the Greater Forest Catchment Management Agency to come on board and work with the community to resolve their issues. Coming to Maibuwe, the issues that Maibuwe are raising are outside our mandate. They fall within the jurisdiction of the city of Cape Town. So if there are problems in Maibuwe, those problems the city of Cape Town must address because they are within their jurisdiction. And then the other one was on governance. The question was, when I talk of governance, do I refer to myself being four in one? I didn't realize that I'm so powerful. And on a lighter note, we are presenting 2015-16 annual report, so it talks to the board at that time. In terms of the currency setup, where the CE is an accounting order at the same time, I think members should rest assured there is no abuse of power whatsoever. I've been an executive for more than 20 years in the public sector. I understand what it means to be loyal to your call of duty, but also to comply with the requirements. I think that one, don't doubt. But more importantly, I'm working with a team that has experience somewhere else, work as a collective to address and improve the situation that we have. There was another question on the number of learners and the jobs. Let me start with the jobs. The number increased because we were actively involved on water leaks and also on rainwater harvesting tanks. Those projects produce some temporary opportunities, job opportunities for some of our people, hence the number increased. Insofar as visitors is concerned, that number refers to those we gave an opportunity to finish matric. So that is all what I can say as 4-in-1. Thank you.
Okay, that shall then take us to the end of our session, Minister. We do not have any further remarks to round up on Overbeck.
No, Chair, I can say that I've already indicated to the Speaker in terms of the challenge and the chairperson of the NCOE in terms of the processes that are moving towards conclusion, the completion of the other financial years. So work is of course in that regard. Thank you very much.
Members, this then brings us, you know, to the end of these two submissions from the respective water boards, both Belle and also Overbeck. I must mention as we conclude that from the Belle point of view, there has been so much emphasis on the irregularity that talks in the main to the unbundling of your assets. You clearly do know for a fact that you did not cover all of those areas that relate to irregularity. Yes, you also do talk about your, what do you call this, your procurement processes, but I also do see that you have not been following much of your internal audit recommendations or findings. Now, there are some of the things that you really wish to follow up on, given the fact that you have the status that you have as we speak. Perhaps following up on those might also assist in improving the situation for the better. So it works in your favor, therefore, that you make those necessary follow-ups, CFO and CEO. And perhaps also working together with your colleagues there at the back from the AG's office, I think that shall also assist you as well. Members, then that takes us to the end of this session. The two reports have been adequately submitted. And tomorrow we are going through Mahalis and Amadola Water. And then we finish next week. Next week, Wednesday, with Randwater and... Anyway, we finish off next week with Randwater and another entity, I can't remember the name. Then that shall bring us, as I said, to the end of this discussion. And thank you once again. We prepare for next week, for tomorrow. Both Amadola Water and also Mahalis. And we're meeting committee room number 1 at 120 Plain. Until we see each other tomorrow at 9:30, the meeting's adjourned. Welcome, Ms. Makabene, for tomorrow's session. Mrs. Makabene attends other committees, so we should identify that we're still in session.
Thank you.